Let's go to Genesis chapter 37. Anybody not know what Genesis is? Amen. Genesis chapter 37. Family, I want you to find the book of Jeremiah chapter 8. We're going to double tag you this morning. Genesis 37, Jeremiah 8. Everybody that's got it and able, stand for the reading of the Word of God. Amen. Genesis 37. We got one verse of scripture there. And Jeremiah chapter 8. We've got one verse of scripture there. Good to have everybody today. Truly, truly blessed that you're here. Amen. We love you. Amen. Appreciate you today for coming to the house of the Lord. Choosing this house. Amen. To worship our God with us. Amen. Praise God. Genesis 37, verse 25. And then we'll be in verse 22 in the 8th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. Genesis 37, 25. Everybody have it. Say amen.
Amen.
And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked. And behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. Jeremiah 8 and verse 22. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Amen. They're going to blast the shofar. We want you to give the Lord praise. Amen. For his word this morning. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to give you the word this morning, what the Lord has laid upon our heart. Amen. And if he will allow me and honor me today one more time, I want to minister on this thought. There is balm in Gilead. There is balm in Gilead. Look at your neighbor and say, there is balm in Gilead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord has dealt with me for the last couple of weeks, maybe 3 weeks, I'm not sure. Amen. Pertaining to this, and I just never could get clarity and never could get release. Amen. But the Lord has given me that today, and we want to bring to you, there is balm in Gilead. Amen. Most of us know the story of Joseph. Amen. Maybe some of you don't, and we don't have time to go into it, but Joseph was the son of Jacob. Jacob was a patriarch, amen, one of God's chosen sons through Abraham, amen. And Joseph was the son of Jacob, amen. He was favored by Jacob, amen, because he was born to his beloved Rachel, amen. When you know the story of Jacob, amen, and Leah and Rachel, you know that Jacob loved Rachel. Amen. But Laban, his father-in-law, gave him Leah first, and then he had to work and labor, amen, and fulfill some things to get Rachel as his wife as well. Amen. So Joseph was the first, amen, son that was born to Rachel, Benjamin being the second and the last one. Amen. But he was also a son of his old age. The Bible says that Joseph was a son of Jacob in his old age. So for these reasons, amen, he had favor in the eyes of his father Jacob. Amen. The Bible says that Jacob gave Joseph a coat of many colors. It was a coat that was different from anyone else, amen, that had ever been given, especially to his sons. Amen. This coat of many colors caused Joseph to be set apart. It caused Joseph, amen, to be different from all of his other siblings and all of his other brothers. Amen. And so the Bible says, amen, that that as Joseph, amen, began to grow, hallelujah, amen, that the Bible says that God gave Joseph a dream, and Joseph dreamed that he would rule over all of his older brothers. He dreamed that his brothers would, amen, submit to him and to his authority. And as you can imagine, amen, this did not go over well with Joseph's brothers. Now, he also was already favored by his father. Amen. Now he has a dream and tells them that he dreamed that the Lord said that he was going to rule over them. Amen. And so, long story short, there was an attempt, amen, in an attempt to get rid of Joseph, amen, they begin to conspire his murder, amen, in an attempt to get rid of him and to remove the favor, amen, and to remove this reminder, amen, of their father's favor, the reminder of their father's love, the reminder of the blessing of God, amen, they conspired to murder him, amen, and the Bible says, hallelujah, that as they were sitting together and they had conspired, amen, to murder him, they looked out and they said, the dreamer is coming. The dreamer is coming. It's interesting that they didn't say that brother is coming or Joseph is coming. Amen. But they said the dreamer is coming. See, what you have to understand is that Joseph carried a prophetic word. Amen. And he was recognized because of that prophetic word. Can I tell you, amen, that if you carry a prophetic word, that when you carry, amen, the word of God, the enemy sees you, amen, and he recognizes you. For it wasn't Joseph that they really had an issue with, but it was the dream that Joseph had been given. And it's really not you that the devil cares about. It's about the word that you have received, accepted, and decided that you were going to walk in. And somebody better help me. I'm just trying to lay a foundation, but I feel the Holy Ghost this morning. I wonder when you get up in the morning, does hell say the dreamer is coming? Oh, when you carry a prophetic word, some of you have a specific prophetic word over your life that is pertaining to you, your destiny, your life. It's a personal prophetic word, and you carry that word as you pursue the will of God, and that word carries you into your destiny. It's that word that the enemy wants to stop. It's that destiny that the enemy wants to hinder. All of us have the same covenant over our lives. And so when the enemy sees anybody making the effort to obey the Lord, to live for him, to walk out this word, he is intimidated. So when hell begins to assault you, don't take it personal, because it has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with what we can give, what we can do, or who we are. But it has everything to do with the covenant word that is assigned over every believer. Come on, somebody, help me in this place. That is why hell assaults you, your family, and your life. Amen? And so the Bible says that what they decided to do is they threw him in a pit. Amen. Hallelujah. And they were going to, what their scheme was they were going to throw him in a pit, and then they that a wild animal had, amen, devoured Joseph. So they had in mind from the beginning to put him in a pit. I want you to understand that today. That was their plan from the start, to put him in a pit, and then they would tell their dad, amen, amen, they were going to kill him, and then tell their dad that a wild animal had devoured him. Hallelujah. And they said, we're going to put him in the pit, and then we will see what becomes of his dream. Once again, come on somebody. They wanted to kill the dream more than they wanted to kill Joseph. Hallelujah. But in order for the dream to be stopped, they felt like they needed to kill Joseph. Can I tell you, hallelujah, that there's nothing that has the power to stop, hallelujah, the word of God. Amen. When there is a prophetic unction over your life, hallelujah, there's not a devil out of hell. There's not a sickness. There's nothing is able, amen, to stop that word. Who I'm talking to today, but if you got a word and the enemy's telling you it ain't going to happen, hallelujah, I want you to know the enemy wants to kill that in your life, hallelujah, but listen to me, greater, greater, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. But his older brother Reuben, amen, said we shouldn't kill him. He said, amen, we can throw him in the pit, amen, and then just let him die there. But we should not shed his blood. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Can I tell you that you have got an advocate, amen, with the Father today? There is somebody rallying for you. Oh, listen to me. You may feel like that everyone else has forsaken you. And maybe there has been some that have forsaken you. Family, friends, relationships have cast you aside. But can I tell you, there's always somebody who's going to be on your side. Oh, I need you to help me today. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? Somebody was talking. I was visiting with someone this week who is in a very critical condition in their body. Amen. And it's not looking good. And she said, I miss my mom. She said, there's nothing like a mother's prayer. I said, no, there's not. But can I tell you, sissy, that your mom's prayers are still working right now? Your mom's prayers are still taking. Come on. Hallelujah. Somebody's got your back. Somebody's always going to be for you. And if God be for you, who can be? Hallelujah. Somebody better shout better than I preach it. Because the Bible says that Reuben said, let's leave him in the pit and let him die that way. But the Bible says Reuben had plans to go back and rescue him later. Oh, somebody help me. Hallelujah. Jesus will rescue you. It may not look like what you want it to look like. It may not happen when you want it to happen. It may not happen like you want it to. But if he is for you, he will guide your steps. Somebody help me.
Amen.
He had plans to go back and rescue him later. And so the Bible says that they stripped Joseph of his coat of many colors. Now, I don't know. I struggle with that little event in this story, because I think sometimes we just get the idea that Joseph was just compliant and just, you know, that just let them take his coat, and surely he was outnumbered, right? Amen. At that time, he had 10 brothers other than himself. And so, we think, well, maybe, amen, maybe, or 11 brothers, amen. We think, well, maybe he just, you know, felt outnumbered. But I just can't help but imagine, because, amen, Joseph had a word. That Joseph, amen, I'm not saying he fought them, but I'm telling you, I think that he was like, wait a minute, what are you doing? Come on, wait a minute, what is it that you're doing? Amen. So there's a couple different scenarios that we could look at there, because he could be like, no, you know what? This is the coat my Word gave me. And there's nobody that can have it. It's not yours, but it's mine. It was made specifically for me. I wish some of you in here would get that determined about the Father's coat that He's put upon your life. Amen. Nobody can fulfill your mission. Nobody can fulfill your call. Nobody can serve the Lord in your place. Amen. But then on the other hand, I can imagine him, amen, because he had a word, amen, and he knew that God said, your brothers are going to bow down to you. You're going to serve them. Amen. He very well could have said, you know what? I got a word. This coat don't determine my word. It just shows my favor. You can take it off of the outside, but you can't. Somebody to help me. See a lot of folk wearing it out here, but they ain't got it in here. When you get it right in here, no matter what's out here, nothing can separate you from the presence of the power of that covenant fellowship with the Father. Hallelujah. So they stripped him of his coat of many colors and they threw him in a pit. Now, this word pit is interesting here. It is the word, it's translated to be a cistern. C-I-S-T-E-R-N, a cistern. A cistern was usually man-made. It was a man-made catch basin for rainwater. So they would make a man this a cistern, and they often a man would coat the inside with lime so that it would be water resistant. A man, and they would dig a conduit to a man this cistern, a man, so that and connect it to where a man the rainwater. Now a well was usually connected to a spring. Sometimes a well would be a man would collect rainwater as well, but a well was usually connected to some type of water source that was already there. But a cistern, a man, was usually man-made, and it was made to catch rainwater. Hallelujah. But the cisterns that were empty and dry were often used as prisons and places of confinement. This is why they said, let's throw him in a pit. Because a pit was a prison. It was a place that was a sign of confinement. In other words, once you got put in there, the only way you were going to get out was if somebody helped you out. Or somebody let you out. Listen to me this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so it was also referred to as a dungeon. Amen. Because there was no way out without help. So they knew if they got Joseph in this pit, amen, that there was no way he was going to get out unless somebody brought him out. Because they decided they were going to kill him. Amen. But Reuben had convinced them to leave him there and not shed blood. Hallelujah. Now listen. Think about the possible injuries. The Bible said that they thrust him into that dungeon. They thrust him into that prison. They thrust him into that pit. So it was not a man, a gentle let him down. Hallelujah. They wanted his dream to die. And the only way the dream would die was for Joseph to die with it. Come on, somebody. Do you hear me? So the Hebrew, amen, context there says they thrust him into that pit. So imagine those men, 10 and 11 of them. Amen, I'm not picking him up. Listen, they done stripped his coat off. Hallelujah, they've taken his coat. Amen, then they picked him up. Amen, and they threw him into that pit. Threw him into that dungeon. Those pits were dug. Amen. They weren't shallow. Amen. But they were made deep for that reason. First of all, to hold as much rainwater as possible. But then when they were empty and dry, amen, they could use them as a dungeon or a prison, if I can say it like that. Amen. So think about the possible injuries that Joseph could have received. Amen. When they threw him in that pit. The cuts, the bruises, the possible broken bones. Amen. The thing. him in the process. And so now there he is in the pit. Amen. Possible cuts and wounds and bruises and possible even broken bones. Who knows? But here's the thing. Whether his bones were broken or not, the possibility of it happening was evident. So that's the purpose. Are you with me? Hallelujah. You may just be bruised and cut right now, and you say, I don't have any brokenness. But don't underestimate the power of the pit. Don't underestimate the one who's trying to keep you in that pit. Are you with me this morning? Hallelujah. I'm saying what I'm saying for a reason. Hallelujah. Joseph was now at the mercy of the pit and his brothers. And can I tell you that some of you feel like that you are in a pit? Some of you feel like that you've literally been tossed, amen, into a dungeon. And it seems like that you have no way out. And you're at the mercy of others or even the mercy of the enemy. But can I tell you today, God has sent me with a word from heaven for somebody. I've tried to study this and preach it for about 3 weeks and never could get release. So you're here today, and guess what? This word's for you. This word is for you today. Come on. Hallelujah. You feel like that you are at the mercy of others. But can I tell you something today? God has a plan, but here's the thing. Joseph knew he was favored by his father. Just because he didn't have the coat didn't mean that he forgot the favor. Take that home with you today. Don't forget you're favored by our Father. You may not be wearing it right now. It may not be exposed where everyone can see it. It may not be, amen, like a neon light flashing saying favored and blessed of God. It actually may look like the opposite for you. It may look like you've been forsaken, rejected, dejected. Nothing's working. Nothing's happening. You're bruised. You're battered. You're scarred. Come on, somebody. Do you hear me? Who am I talking to today? The battle's real. Hallelujah. He never promised us that we wouldn't get wounded. We wouldn't get, amen, scars. But Paul said, I'm not ashamed of my chains. He said, you see these scars on me? Hallelujah. It's only a sign that I've been to prison. I've been beat. I've been locked up. But I'm still standing. I'm still the victor. Oh, somebody help me. So you may not be flashing the coat favor today, but you gotta know that you have it because the blood of Jesus assigned it to you as soon as you said yes to Jesus. Joseph knew he was favored by his father. He knew he had a word for his future and his destiny, and he had to hold on to that word. But yet there he was in a dungeon. I don't know what else he had on under the coat. See, when we say coat, you know, I know you think like coat that's put on the winter. Amen. But a lot of times their coat was like their initial covering. Amen. It was a tunic. Amen. Their outer garment. Amen. So he very well could have been naked. He very well could have had nakedness at the least. Amen. So there he was, amen, with favor in his life, favor over his life, favor, amen, from the Father, a word, amen, a prophetic word for his future and his destiny. Yet he was in a dungeon now, naked, probably cold, amen, wounded, no doubt, in some form or fashion, and rejected. Hallelujah. Anybody ever been in that place? Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but amen. I was thinking, hallelujah, on Friday. Hallelujah. One of my titles. Amen. I'm not talking about title of ministry. One of my titles ought to be in the spirit realm, ought to be manager. Hallelujah. Amen. And you can take it for yourself as well. You say, why is that? Because have you ever been to the place, how do I manage this pressure that I'm feeling in this battle? How do I manage the pressure that I feel in the spirit? Hallelujah. Amen. When the reality of what you're experiencing doesn't look like what God has promised, and the pressure's on, how do I manage that pressure? Hallelujah. See, you got two choices. Bottom line, you can either believe it and keep going, or you can deject it and give up. Hallelujah. But as for me and my house, we're serving the Lord. We have decided that's where we're going. Amen. That's when you have to depend. We just got through with the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. In a study on Thursday nights. Amen. And that's when you got to depend on the character of God. That's when you got to know on the inside. Hallelujah. That the Father loves you. You are favored. And all your brothers may say the opposite, but you got a word from heaven. You got favor over your life, and you're going to lean on who he is and not what he does. You got to quit leaning on what he does and what he can do and just who he is. He's simply a good, good father. And because he's good, the outcome of whatever you're facing is going to be good. It may not be, amen, the best for you, but it's the better the options. Come on, somebody. Are you hearing me today? Yes. Trying to manage what I'm experiencing doesn't look like what God has promised. Ooh. This surely doesn't look like what you said. And so, if we can go back to Genesis 37, verse 25. See, this is when they had stripped Joseph of his coat, and he was now in the pit. And the Bible says in this verse that as his brothers sat down, isn't it something? There he was in the pit. With a word from God.
Yep.
Favor over his life. And his brothers were sitting around the table. Eating. Yeah. And breaking bread. Whew.
Yeah.
I've been there.
I've been there.
I've been there. I've been there. Looking up from the pit. Hearing the fellowship. Hearing the bread breaking.
Yeah.
Hearing the glasses. Hit one another. Cheers. I drink to that. Everyone else celebrating, rejoicing, but you're in the pit. Anybody else? Anybody else ever been there? Come on. The enemy come and tell you, well, this is not fair. It ain't right. That's when you gotta know that everything you've done has no bearing on the goodness of God. Everything you haven't done has no bearing on the goodness of God.
Amen.
So you can't let the enemy take you up and down that list. Well, I've done this, I've done that, I've been here, I've been there, I've done this, I've been faithful, this, been done that, but I haven't done this, and I missed that, I didn't do this, I didn't do that. You can't let the enemy take you on that list, amen, because none of that affects the goodness of the Father. Hallelujah. You have his covenant over your life. Somebody better help me. Hallelujah. That's why you got Jesus sitting on his right hand, making intercession, interceding, pounding the gavel, being the lawyer that says, objection, objection, objection. Somebody help me. Hallelujah. Let me take you back to the witness. Hallelujah, that they stood and said, don't God slay me. remained faithful.
Hallelujah.
It doesn't require you to get it right. He just asks you to get it. All you got to do is get it, not get it right. Jesus got it right.
Right.
And when you do get it right, it's good. Come on, and he wants you to get it right.
Right.
Don't take it wrong.
Uh-huh.
But he knows you can't get it right every time.
Right.
Come on, somebody. I'm still laying a foundation. I'm trying to get somewhere. Sorry, can we go back to that verse again? They lifted up their eyes and they saw a company of Ishmaelites, Midianites, coming from Gilead with camels bearing spices and balm and myrrh. The complete Jewish Bible translates they had opium.
Yep, that's what it was.
You're like, hey. That's in your sister now. Help us, Jesus.
That's true.
Come on. They saw them coming with a caravan of camels,
Ishmaelites,
with the spices and balm and myrrh from Gilead. So his brothers decided to sell him to these Midianites. They decided to sell him as a slave to this caravan of Ishmaelites. But let me remind you that in the Hebrew, the word Ishmael means God will hear. What the enemy meant for evil, God will take it and use it for good. I need somebody to remember that the Lord has heard you today, and you got somebody on your body that's got your back. I need somebody to get that in the Holy Ghost this morning. God will hear. This was a sign to Joseph. God was with him. Come on. Just hang with me. I've never preached here before. But I'm going to go and see. Here's the thing. What they were carrying was significant. You see, what you got to understand is by the time breakthrough reaches you, God has already spent time setting it up in advance. Using whomever, whatever he will and can to bring it to pass. These Ishmaelites thought they were doing this all of their own accord, but God had his hand in it the whole time. Come on, God's got his hand in the mess. God's got his hand. Come on, I know some of you by the Spirit are in that pit this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. But see, what they were carrying was significant. And where they were coming from was significant. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Well, find me a mic.
Nope.
Are we back? See what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I don't want my victory or my breakthrough coming from nowhere except God's hand. That's why you got to keep your hand off of it. You got to keep your words off of it. You got to keep your thoughts off of it. Let God bring it. Because you see, he sent his word and it healed them and delivered them from their destruction. The word's already on its way. You just got to be in the right place that when it shows up, hallelujah, you're in the right place at the right time. And then get it, receive it, and it will recognized in the Bible for a few notable things. It was the birthplace of the prophet Elijah. The prophet Elijah was born in Gilead. It was in Gilead where it was the last place that Jacob and Laban met. Laban was Jacob's father-in-law. Laban was the one, amen, that allowed, that forbid Jacob from having Rachel when he promised that she could go with him, and gave him Leah first, and then made him work, and amen, made him labor, and then gave him Rachel. Hallelujah. There was some discord there. There was some enmity there. And it was there in Gilead. Amen. That was the last place that Jacob and Laban met. Hallelujah. In Gilead is where Gideon defeated the Midianites. Hallelujah. So if I can just say it just for those three things. Amen. 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 Gilead is a place of a prophetic anointing. It was that where Elijah was born. It was that where that same spirit, amen, that forerunner, that was a forerunner of Jesus, a forerunner of John the Baptist, that same spirit, that same prophetic unction that has been tried to be silenced by Jezebel and by government and by lawyers and by businesses and even by churches. Hallelujah. But it was birthed at the place that God designed it. And so Gilead is the place of the prophetic anointing. It's a place of covenant between Jacob and Laban. Amen. And Gilead is a place of victory. It's a place when it looks like you're surrounded and it looks like that you're outnumbered, God will meet you there. Come on, somebody, and bring you the victory. But Gilead was also well known because in Gilead grew this plant or this tree. It was a balsam tree. And it was there on cuts and burns and wounds. It healed bruises. It was even used to cover the scent of rotting flesh at the time of death. Amen. So from Gilead, hallelujah, was, amen, a great, amen, and a precious thing, this balm. Now you got to understand, Joseph would have known that the balm carried by the Ishmaelites had great value and healing. Somebody better help me in this place. When they raised him up out of that pit and he saw those Midianites, he saw those Ishmaelites whose name means God will hear, and he saw those camels bearing the spices and that balm from Gilead, he had to know, you know what? I don't understand what's happening. I know that I got a word and my brothers are supposed to bow down to me, not in arrogance, but in prophetic authority. I know that they're supposed to serve under me. I don't know what's happening, but I know that God has not forgotten me. Ooh, somebody better help me. Because coming out of Gilead was a reminder that God has heard you. And in the midst, all the cuts, the bruises, the wounds, anything that he would have had on his body, healing was already there. Somebody better help me in this place. That balm of Gilead. Hallelujah. Not going to keep you long. Only as long as I'm supposed to. Joseph would have known this was a very well-known Middle Eastern knowledge, this balm of Gilead, the healing properties that it contained. And so now the cuts and the wounds that he could have possibly received by being thrust into that pit. He said, God has heard me. God has heard me. And he hasn't forgotten me. He sent healing. Before Joseph even knew what hit him, when they began to strip off his coat, God had already had that caravan on its way.
Oh yeah.
With that healing. Oh, hallelujah. I feel this in the pit of my belly today. I feel this unction. Hallelujah. He would have known the healing properties in that bone. That even if he was dying, it would serve to cover the smell of death.
Amen.
Because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And death has no power over Jesus. So I'm going to hit himself. So now let's look at Jeremiah 8:22. Jeremiah is asking a question. Is there no balm in Gilead?
Yeah.
Is there no physician there? Is there not a doctor there? Is there no balm to bring healing? And to bring comfort? To soothe the cuts, the wounds, to heal the bruises? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Now you gotta know a little bit of context right here. Right? Israel was in the place of backsliding here.
Yeah.
And Jeremiah's prophesying and speaking. Jeremiah had a burden for the condition of their heart, their relationship with the Father. So they were in a condition, a place of backsliding. They had been delivered from Egypt, but they still kept falling into idol worship. They still kept falling into idolatry and into the pagan practices. Essentially, bottom line, they were looking elsewhere for spiritual fulfillment. You'll not find what a relationship with God can bring to your life in a bottle of alcohol, in a bottle of pills, drugs, in a needle. You'll not find it in a relationship. You'll not find it in a religion. You'll not find it in a doctrine. You'll not find it in a career. You'll not find it in a job. You'll not find it in money. You will not find, spiritual fulfillment outside of a relationship, a right relationship with the Father. And just in case you don't know or you have forgotten, the Bible says the only way to have a relationship with the Father is through Jesus Christ, His Son. Amen. No other way. There's no other way. I've tried other ways and it don't work. No other way. Bottom line, they were looking for spiritual fulfillment in everything else. They needed to return and repent because there was spiritual healing for them. It was there. There was spiritual healing for them. And so Jeremiah is speaking, and you can go into chapter 46 in Jeremiah. You can read even more so about this balm of Gilead. It's not mentioned, specifically balm of Gilead is only mentioned 3 times in the scripture, but balm, amen, itself, I believe it's 6 times. It might be 5, but it's no more than 6. amen, and you'll see, amen, the significance and the connection here, amen. And at the bottom line, this is prophetic, amen, as he is speaking here. Is there no physician there? Is there no balm in Gilead? Why is God's people in the spiritual condition they are in? Is all the balm in Gilead gone? Is there no one there? Is there not a doctor there? Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. And some of you may have heard, amen, some old songs and different things. Amen. But listen to me. This is prophetic. Amen. That Jesus is the balm of Gilead. He is the only one that has the ability within himself naturally from the Father to bring healing to your cuts, your wounds, your bruises, your brokenness. He is the only one who can heal you and make you whole. Hallelujah. Can you hear me today? Amen. So Jeremiah was saying, is there no healing in Gilead? See, the only spiritual fulfillment, amen, hallelujah, and the one that can heal you, amen, any wound emotionally and spiritually is Jesus. He is that balm of Gilead. He is that ointment. Hallelujah. Amen. That when you're wounded and when you're thrown in the pit and you feel like that you've been dejected, rejected, forsaken, forgotten, neglected. Hallelujah. He is that balm of Gilead. And if you will believe and trust him, he's already on his way with the healing to let you know that he has not forgotten about you. He has not forgotten. The word balm in the Hebrew is the word sori. It's the word sori in Hebrew, and it means cracked by pressure or leak. Cracked by pressure or leak. And that healing resin in that balm, or in that balsam tree, that healing resin, that balm contained in that balsam tree, it was forced from the stems and the leaves by piercing them, or the resin leaking through open pores or wounds that would be in the tree. I'm going to let you chew on that for about 30 seconds, because that's about all I can contain to help you understand the prophetic connection there. Need I remind you who was pierced? Who was wounded for our transgressions and our healing? And out of those wounds leaked the healing, the blood, and the water came out of those wounds. And so just like that balsam tree that was forced by piercing the leaves or the branches to release that balm, that healing resin, or if there was a wound in the tree, it would leak out of that wound. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. When Jesus was hanging there, they beat him and they forced. Are you with me? He gave it willingly, but they forced his blood out of him. Come on, are you with me? they wounded him, they pierced his side. And out of it, out of the hole and out of the wound, leaked that water and that blood. And now, hallelujah, by those stripes, we are healed. Come on, somebody, do you hear me this morning? Hallelujah. I've come to remind somebody there is a balm in Gilead. No matter what the enemy is trying to make you think, hallelujah, God has not forgotten you, because Jesus is the balm of Gilead. He is that healing ointment that if you are wounded and you are bruised, hallelujah, he became bruised for you. Come on, somebody, do you understand me? And you just take that healing, amen, that ointment, that balm of Gilead, and you begin to apply it to the wounds.
Amen.
They couldn't explain it, but it was a natural healing property. I kind of think about aloe when I think about it. You know, aloe, just naturally oil, has those properties. This is precious. So you see, Joseph would have been encouraged by this, knowing that God had heard him. God heard him.
Amen.
These Ishmaelites, who were also descendants of the father Abraham, come on. And God said that he would not forget them. Joseph would have been reminded and encouraged that God heard him and was with him and was able to heal his wounds. Joseph's story lasted a lot longer than the pit. We know he ended up in the palace. And it's interesting when you read, if you read in the book of Genesis and Joseph, the famine, and God orchestrated, amen. You don't know the whole story, read it. Get into the book of Genesis and read it. I don't have time today to go through all of it, but amen. Joseph, amen, was elevated, amen, in Egypt. He was taken to Egypt, and he was elevated there, amen. And Jacob sent, amen, they came, and Jacob thought that Joseph was dead, right? They took his bloody, they bloodied his coat, and they took it to Jacob and said, he's been killed, he's been destroyed. And so Jacob thought he was dead. And so Jacob sent his sons to Egypt, amen, to get food for the famine, amen. And one of the things that the Bible says specifically that Jacob sent to Joseph was balm from Gilead.
Amen.
Balm from Gilead. Joseph was encouraged, and he would have known that God had not forgotten him.
Amen.
That God was going to provide a way out of the pit and put him on the road that was leading to his purpose. The word Gilead in Hebrew means heap of testimony. You say, well, what's that matter? Because Gilead became a place of testimony for Jacob. See, Jacob, come on. It was there that Jacob made covenant with Laban that Laban would no longer pursue him and that he would let him and his family go to take Rachel and Leah and go, and he would not pursue him. Covenant was made at Gilead. And so it was Jacob's testimony that he didn't have to worry. It was a place of covenant. And so from Gilead was a testimony. Out of covenant came healing and that balm that brought Joseph comfort, hope, and healing. See, have the same favor, you have the same covenant with your Father. You don't have to run from the enemy. That what God has promised you, that what God has blessed you, the word that God has spoken to you, over you, for you, is yours. And as they get ready to come this morning, I need to remind somebody that there is a healing. There is balm in Gilead. There is healing. Gilead is that place of covenant, and it's from that covenant that God is bringing your healing. Talking spiritually, there's healing for your physical body as well. I'm not trying to diminish that at all. Some of you are wounded, cut. And there's a season in the pit. And you feel cold, forgotten. I don't know who the Lord's talking to today, but you got a word. You've got an unction. God is, as He spoke to me 3 weeks ago, this is what the Spirit said. He said, Jesus is the ointment.
Absolutely.
Jesus is the ointment. And my mind went instantly to the balm of Gilead. There's nothing that you can do. See, they could add spices, perfumes to that balm to make it smell good, more pleasurable. But they didn't have to add anything to the very core of what the balm was. The healing was naturally in the balm. So there's nothing you have to do, nothing you can do. You don't need another word for that balm to bring that healing to your mind, your heart, your spirit, your soul, to begin bringing that healing. Now you can add your praise and make it smell better. Come on, make it more favorable for other people. But at the end of the day, Jesus is the only one who has the natural healing born into Him by the Father. So today, I've come to remind somebody, as you stand with me across this place, today to remind somebody there is a balm in Gilead. There is a balm. Maybe you've been cut by someone's words. Maybe you've been wounded by someone else's thrust. Maybe it just isn't the pit. But if you're in the pit, in this season that you're in, God wants you to know that He's not forgotten you. He's heard you. And there is a balm in Gilead. From your place of covenant, I feel that today. I feel that today. Prison, but God brought him out, and he never gave up on his worship and serving God, and God elevated him and brought his purpose to pass, and Joseph watched his dream come to pass. I'm here to tell somebody, dreams still come true. I don't know who that's for, but I feel that today. Dreams still come true. The prophetic word, the written word, will come to pass. So as they get ready to worship this morning, if you're in this sanctuary today, number one priority is your salvation. If you're here today and you've heard this worship, you've heard this message today, that Jesus is not your personal Lord and Savior. You have not made a commitment and repented and asked Jesus to be Lord of your life. Today's your day. How do you know that? Because the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Right now. It's the will of God for you to be saved. That's the will of God. That's the will of God for you to be saved. So if you're here today, you cannot unequivocally say, I am born again. I am a child of God. That if I would take my last breath, I would leave from here and be at peace with God. My spirit would go back to God. If you can't say that, then I want you to come. I wish I could describe to you how much God loves you. I wish I could show you how much that God loves you. But it's better felt than told. The only way to truly understand it is to experience it. So if the Lord is dealing with you right now, He's compelling you right now to make that choice, to make that step. Come with everyone in the house praying. Come on, make that step. Maybe you gotta grab the hand of somebody besides you and say, will you go with me? I'm in where you're at. I know that. Feel it. A lot of you here today, this message has ministered to you, convicted you, or you have resonated in any way with this message. I want you to get out of your seat and make your way up front. You don't have to be in the pit to lead the ball.